Thanks for listening to today's message. We hope that it will encourage you and help you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.
Well, as we talked about newcomers, I just want to say as we begin that if this is your first Sunday, or if you're just joining with us, if you've been away for a while, today is a good day because we are actually beginning a brand new series this morning, and I'm really excited about the potential of what God can do through this series as we walk through it together. I want to just mention that in your bulletin, there's an outline. I want to encourage everyone, if you have a bulletin today, to take out this outline. And I know that some of you maybe only have one between two people, and so we have our ushers this morning ready to hand out some of these extra outlines that we've created for you. So if you did not get one, would you just slip up your hand right now, okay? And just put your hand up if you didn't get one. And our ushers, both in the balcony and the main floor, will hand one out to you. I really want to encourage you to follow along today. There's just some great stuff that we're going to be introducing and talking about. We're beginning a series entitled Hearing God. Hearing God. And just to start with, I've got a little, how many like trivia? I've got a little trivia, and you can maybe add this into some of your knowledge. And we're just going to just share a little bit. In the first chapter of the book of Genesis, chapter 1, the very first book of the Bible, the words God said are used 9 times. In the next 5 books of the Bible, which would be, what are they? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, often described as the Pentateuch, the words the Lord spoke appear approximately 560 times. And then throughout the remaining part of the Old Testament, the words the Lord spoke, or references to the Lord spoke, appear approximately 3,800 times. Now, I didn't go through and count, okay? If you want to do that, go ahead. In fact, it might be a great Bible study, but I'm assuming I had a reliable source who gave this to me. The book of Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, you'll see it in the Old Testament. At least 40 times, he talks about how his message came directly from God. Ezekiel, another prophet, makes the same claim, where at least 60 times, where he's referenced hearing from God. And Jeremiah, another prophet in the Old Testament, makes the same claim, only for him, he speaks of hearing God, messages from God, words from God, 100 times. And so, interesting stuff. The question this morning that we're asking is, does God still speak today? It's very apparent as we read the Old Testament that God was a speaking God. That God was a God who loved to speak to his people. And so the question today is, does God still speak today? And I would say that probably for most of us, we would say yes. For most of us this morning here, we would have already settled that question. And we truly believe, for the most part, we believe that God is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. That's what the Bible says. And so the question is, well, how does God speak to us today? And what possibly might God be saying to us? And an even more important question this morning that we're going to explore as we go through this series is, why is it so important that we learn to hear from God? Just think about it for a minute. If God truly still speaks today, and he has a word for us, he has a message for us, he has things that he wants us to hear, Would you agree that we need to be paying attention? We need to be listening. And some would say, I'm not really sure how to listen. And so part of this series, we're going to be focusing in on how to hear from God, how to listen in prayer. What a wonderful privilege God has given to us to pray. But prayer is not just us talking to God. It's also God talking to us. God wants to have a conversation with us. God wants to speak to us. In this series, we're also going to be talking about how to stay in bounds, because the reality is sometimes people think they're hearing from God, but they're way out of bounds. And it's very easy to get out of bounds. And I was thinking about how you could take any kind of sport, like a football game or a hockey game. Can you imagine a football game where there were no boundaries or where you had this field and there was no dimensions laid out and the players just said, okay, this week we're going to have a 100-yard football field and next week it might be 130 yards. It would be crazy. And so the boundaries that are enforced upon the game actually help the game to become more effective and more enjoyable. And so God gives us boundaries. God wants us to stay in bounds when it comes to hearing his voice so that we're not just running off and bringing hurt and harm, because so often people's lives are hurt and injured because of abuse when it comes to a subject like this. Before we go too far, I want to just give you a little background into this series. It was about a year ago now, and I've shared some of this story with you in a sermon months ago, but just a little bit of an update again. My wife and I had the privilege, it was actually last October, of spending a weekend attending a conference in Steinbach, Manitoba. It was a church renewal conference. And I don't know if you've ever been to Steinbach. Some of you have been there, but let's face it, Steinbach is not exactly one of the top 10 places in Canada to go and visit. It's a little small town, city of 15,000 people, a southern prairie city, southern Manitoba. Not exactly a place where it's not a destination holiday place to go. But what makes it unique is that there's a church there in Steinbach, Manitoba. Some of you have heard about it. It's a church by the name of Southland Church that is running between Steinbach, 15,000 people. The church is running between 4,000 and 5,000 people for a weekend attendance. It's pretty incredible. But the reality is this is not always the case. That was not always the case. Historically, this was a church that had been rocked by divisions, splits, power struggles. Theologically, it was a church that when it came to the work of the Holy Spirit, the supernatural, the gifts of the Spirit, things like that, they believed that that was from another era. That was for another day. They would have described themselves as, and some of you may be familiar with this term, it's not a term that we hear too often anymore, they would have described themselves as cessationists, where they believed that things like prophecy and tongues and miracles and healings and all that kind of stuff had ceased and was no longer something relevant for today. Well, about 20 years ago, with the help of the Holy Spirit, their church began to open their hearts. And there were some people that took some risks. And they began to open their hearts to the reality, the possibility that God still speaks today. And their pastor actually describes one of the defining moments happened when, after a lot of soul searching and openness to leadership and so on, that they came to a place where they actually repented and asked God's forgiveness and began to welcome the Holy Spirit into their church. It's an amazing story that I don't have time to really unpack this morning. But what is also amazing, and this was never part of in their minds, the plan of what eventually would begin to take place. What has happened over recent years is that God has been using this small little town of Steinbach, Manitoba, with this church that God has been at work. It's still in many ways it's in a very conservative part of the prairies. In many ways, it's still kind of a conservative-orientated church. If you walked into it, you would find that it's a lot of ordinary people loving God, worshiping God. No one's swinging from the chandeliers or anything like that. It's a very kind of ordinary presence when you come in. But what's happened is that God is using it to capture the heart of many pastors and leaders from across Canada. And so God is using this Canadian city to help bring renewal to the church in Canada. And so about 3 years ago, they actually started a ministry for church renewal. And so my wife and I had the opportunity a year ago to be there for a weekend and to experience and observe and hear and learn. And then the invitation was given that if we wanted to participate in some online coaching and mentoring that we could do. All of this is being offered for free to pastors and leaders right across Canada. The church is totally funding the whole thing. It's amazing. In fact, they've released their senior pastor now to do this work full time with pastors. And so for the last year, I have had the privilege, along with about 30 other pastors from across Canada, different denominations, to be part of this online, every Thursday, this online mentoring coaching time. And it's been absolutely a great experience for me personally. It's brought renewal into my life in a lot of different ways. And my wife is often tracking with us. We often do this together. It's pretty cool. Peter Lewis, one of our good friends who was a former pastor here at CPC, our youth pastor back probably 18 years ago, he is now the lead pastor of a church in Duncan here on the island, and he and their church have embraced a lot of this material, and it's absolutely doing great things in their congregation. And I think the one thing that we would all agree on, and that is this, that Canada needs renewal. The church in Canada needs renewal. And while there are pockets, there are great things that God is doing in different places. We know today that in many ways, the church in Canada is struggling. And it's not just about attendance. It's not just about, you know, a church, you know, doing cool things. The reality is, there's a renewal of work that God wants to do in the church today. And if we are going to be able to position ourselves so that we can be part of the final days that God would have for the church in the world, for that matter. And so, one of the examples of where the church needs renewal is the renewal of right practices. And there's a couple of words that I'd like to, and I shared this a number of months ago, there's a couple of words that may not be part of your vocabulary on a regular basis, but it would be a good Scrabble words if you play Scrabble. And it's the words orthodoxy and the words orthopraxy. Now, the word ortho, sometimes you hear that word, maybe you've gone to you think of the word orthopedic. And the word ortho simply speaks of helping something to be straight or true or correct. Or maybe when I was a kid, I had braces, and so I went to the orthodontist, and the whole idea was to help my teeth come into alignment and to be straight and to be proper and to be right. And so the word doxy speaks of doctrine, beliefs. And for the most part, as a church in Canada, we would agree that for the most part, we have good doctrines. We believe that God loves us. We believe that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. We believe that salvation is found in Christ alone. We believe we have good, solid, sound doctrine. But where we are often weak is in the area of orthopraxy, which is practices. There's a lot of things that we believe, but we don't practice very well. One of them would, for example, would be, we believe in the power of prayer. Most would say, I believe in prayer. If I were to ask you to raise your hand this morning, how many would say, Pastor Dave, if I were to say, how many of you believe in prayer? I think most hands would shoot up. But the reality is, for most of us, in many ways, there's a deficiency in the area of practice. I could use the same question I could throw out and say, how many of you believe in dieting? And I think most of us, our hand would shoot up and say, yeah, we think, or to have a healthy diet. But when it comes to the practice, sometimes it's not always there. And so as we begin this series on hearing God, along with biblical teaching and inspiration that we're going to be focusing on over the next number of weeks, Sunday mornings, we want to give some time for practice. It's one of the reasons that we, and I didn't share it in the announcements earlier, but it's one of the reasons why we are offering a follow-up session on Wednesday nights here at the church. And it's going to be a practicum. It's going to be some further conversation about this subject. And for the next 6 weeks, we're going to be giving opportunity for practice. I think you would agree this morning that the more we practice something, the better we get at it. Jacob Gregory teaches drumming, and he's got like 35 students right now. And I think he would say that the more you practice, the more you're going to enjoy it. The better you're going to get at it. The more we practice anything, the better it becomes. A musician, when they practice, it gets better. Baseball season, you can take the top baseball players in the world right now are still playing, but you know what? They still go out and practice. They still go out and practice because they believe that the more I practice, the better hitter I become, the better catcher I become, the better running the bases. They practice. And so probably the most important thing that we can do in our Christian life is learn to hear God's voice. And the more we practice, the more I believe we can enjoy this wonderful privilege that God has given to us. And so one of the reasons that I'm so excited about this series is because being able to hear God's voice is one of the most amazing privileges that we have as God's people. To think that the same God, think about it, the same God that was speaking in the Old Testament, the same God that actually spoke the world into existence, you know, when he said, let there be light, and there was light. The same God that spoke this universe into existence is the same God who wants to speak to us today. That's pretty exciting, isn't it, when you think about it? And I throw this word out to you, the word imagine. Everyone say that word with me, imagine. Imagine if we could all become more effective in hearing God. I in my own life, I say, oh God, I want to hear you more. And this message, this series is as much for me as it is for you. Imagine the impact that it can have on all the areas of our lives. Our personal life. We all struggle with things. We all have things that we're dealing with in our life. Imagine if we could hear God more, or we would be able to recognize his voice more. What about our relationships? What about your marriage? What about your kids? Do you ever have times when you say, oh God, what am I going to do with my kids? What am I going to do with this situation that we're facing? How can we improve in this area? Is it possible that God might have something to actually say to us about those things? Those of you that are perhaps in business, imagine if we allowed God to give us God-given strategies to grow our business. Is it possible that God just might have something to say about that thing that you invest a lot of your time and money into? And then what about our congregation this morning? What if collectively we could hear God's voice more? What if collectively we could be more effective in hearing God's voice? The reality is we know we're in a time of change and transition around CPC here. And along with all the different things that our search committee is going to be doing, at the end of the day, we want to hear God's voice. We want to know God's heart. We want God's plan and his will to unfold in the life of our church. And there's just something amazing to think about a church, a group of people, ordinary people. One of the things that we'll talk about a little bit later is, who is it that God actually speaks to? I have in my notes here this morning, and that is this, that there is absolutely amazing potential in this place today. There's amazing potential in this congregation this morning to hear God's voice. Just rule out any thought or idea or any notion that God does not want to speak to us as a church. The potential is great this morning for you and I together, for us to hear the voice of God. And so there's going to be a lot of practical elements in this series. We're going to talk about different ways that God speaks. But this morning I want to just lay a foundation, and that is we want to look at probably what is the number one way that God speaks to us today. And that is through the primacy of his word, the word of God, the Bible. And let me just say this, that the Bible is no ordinary book. Would you agree this morning? The word of God, the Bible, is no ordinary book. The Bible is a living word. The Bible is a book that's, the scriptures are anointed. They've been written and inspired by the Holy Spirit. And we want to look at a couple of scriptures here right off the bat. 2 Peter chapter 1, in your notes, you'll see a couple of blanks here to begin to fill in your notes. We see, first of all, that scripture is inspired by the Holy Spirit. Verse 20, it says, above all, you must understand that no prophecy of scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy, and here he's referring to the scriptures, never had its origin in the human will. In other words, the Bible is not just a book of good ideas written down by some guy. This is not just a bunch of good suggestions, some good ideas that man has written. The word of God is something that's been given to us. He says here, though human, the origin is not in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And so this Bible, 66 books, the scriptures that God has given to us, God used human beings to actually write and record and write down what needed to be written, but it was inspired, the Bible teaches us, by the Holy Spirit. Let's look at another one. So first of all, scripture, one of the ways that God speaks to us, is inspired by the Holy Spirit. Secondly, scripture is God-breathed. Look at 2 Timothy 3:16. It says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. In other words, God breathed his life into the word of God. There's an anointing upon scripture that has the breath of God in it. In fact, you can go back into Genesis when God created you and I, when God created man. What does it say? When God created Adam, you know, it says he breathed into him the breath of God. And the Bible says that man became a living soul. In other words, the word of God is alive. And then to follow it up, we see here in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, the Bible teaches us that the scripture is living and active. Look at verse 12. In fact, how about we read it together? Could we do that? Everybody, go. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. The word of God is alive and active. It's living. It's a living book. It's a living word. And when I say it's no ordinary book, it's, you know, I don't know about you, but you can read a newspaper and you flip through it, scan it, you know, check it out, and within a day or two, where does that newspaper typically end up? In the recycle bin. I was thinking about it even this morning. I was sitting in my office and I was looking at all the books on my shelf. I have a few hundred books in my office. And yet some of those books I've never read in the last 20 years that I've been here. Crazy. And yet I still keep them. I don't know. And yet every day I pick up this book. And while those books have some great content and some awesome material in them, there's nothing that can replace the Bible. There's nothing that can replace the Word of God. And it's the Word of God that's living and active and sharp. I don't know about you, but how many times can you think back to when you were reading something, reading a scripture, and you're going through something in your life, and all of a sudden the Word of God just was like an arrow right to your heart. Can anyone relate to that? Where the Word of God just penetrates. And so what is the X factor in all of this? It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the X factor in causing the Word of God, the Bible, to be a living, anointed, inspired book that still speaks to us. God still speaks to us today. It's the Holy Spirit that causes the written Word of God to come alive in our hearts. It's the Holy Spirit who opens our hearts. We can see examples of this in Scripture. It's the Holy Spirit who helps us to understand Scripture. And so the reality is the Holy Spirit is our helper. And that's one of his jobs, one of his roles. Look at John chapter 14 and verse 26 in your notes. But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, this Jesus was saying these words, the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send, he, the Holy Spirit, will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you. And so, getting back to this whole notion of cessationists, there are still people today who believe that the only way that God speaks is through the Bible, but it's just simply the written word, and they do not believe that the Holy Spirit still is involved. We believe that the Holy Spirit has come to help us. And just the same Holy Spirit that was given back in the day of Pentecost is the same Holy Spirit who's come to help us understand and hear the voice of God through his word. And so while we have good Bible study, my library and my office is full of all kinds of great Bible study methods and techniques and hermeneutics, and you learn how to, you know, check out the background, what was, you know, the culture of the day, and some of the original languages, you know, the Greek and the Hebrew and all that kind of stuff. And there's all of those things have tremendous value. And they bring tremendous insights. And so we Bible study methods cause us to think in terms of, you know, who were the people that God was speaking to back there in the Old Testament? Who were the people that God was speaking to back there in the Ephesians church? And so you get all that background material, all that kind of stuff, and it can be very, very helpful and very, very good. But the reality is, it's the Holy Spirit. Today, when we talk about today, it's the Holy Spirit who helps to unlock the secrets, to help unlock the principles, the things that God would have to say to us today. God is a speaking God today. Amen? God is a speaking God today. And he's given to us the Holy Spirit to help open that up to us. And so a couple of quick takeaways in your notes. The first one is this. The Holy Spirit helps us to hear what God is saying through his word. And so every time, so part of this along with hearing God, it's we've got to expose ourselves to the word of God. And every time you open your Bible, every time, even today as we are looking at God's word together, we need to be saying, Holy Spirit, what is it you want to say to me today through the word of God? And the reality is we cannot effectively hear the voice of God without the help of the Holy Spirit of God. The second takeaway would be this. That the Holy Spirit, talking about the helper, who's the Holy Spirit who is our helper, he helps us by giving added revelation. Now, I want to be very clear right off the top here. I'm not suggesting by any means whatsoever that God has extra things to say to us that would not be in alignment with the Word of God. We need to be very clear on this. That added revelation will never, everyone say never, contradict Scripture. Okay? But the reality is, God doesn't exactly give me every strategy when it comes to, say, raising my kids. Or he may not have something exactly in place for you when it comes to what he might have to say to you concerning your business or concerning a decision that you are going to make. But he does give us principles in his word that help to guide us. But there is added revelation that God wants to give to us. And the Holy Spirit has come to help us with that. And so the truth is this morning, when it comes, there's some things we don't even have to ask God about. Someone once said this, we don't have to be listening for what God has already said. For example, God has something very clear when it comes to thou shalt not commit adultery. We don't have to ask whether or not, you know, it's okay to give in to a temptation to go and have an affair with someone else's wife or have a sexual relationship with someone who's not your wife or your husband. God is very clear on those subjects. And so we don't have to be asking God, well, you know, I really feel really drawn to this person, and you know, it just feels so good, and I think it'd be all right if we just decide to sleep together. It's cool. You know, we really do love each other. You know what I mean? Oh, absolutely. You know, you can just hear God saying, "I get it. I understand." Yeah, you're different. No, the reality is God, we cannot compromise. God will never compromise something that he's already said and laid down as a principle in his word or as a command in his word. Another example might be when it comes to forgiving those who have hurt us or someone who's done wrong to you. And we don't have to ask God, should I forgive that person? The reality is God has already spoken very clearly on certain subjects. Now, maybe the strategy might be, I need to hear from God on how I'm going to find a way forward in this relationship. This hurt, this what is it that this area where I've been wronged and my soul has been broken, my spirit needs healing. God, can you give me a strategy of how we can bring this broken relationship together? Is it possible that God might have something to say about that? Is it possible that God might have something he wants to reveal to you that might be a strategy from heaven that might actually take a horrible situation and bring it to good? But the foundation of it all is that God says, you need to forgive that person and let me give you some strategies on how you're going to do it. Again, imagine if we could all hear from God when it comes to our relationships, when it comes to our marriage, maybe a marriage that's struggling, a marriage that's hurting, a marriage that's going through some real challenges. Imagine if we could hear from God where God says, let me help you. Listen to me. Would you pay attention? I'm going to give you some strategies that's going to help you deal with this. And so the Holy Spirit wants to give us added revelation. But it will always be complemented by Scripture. So let's be very clear on that. And so I want to wrap this up here shortly. A couple of questions. Who does God speak to? Some might think that God only speaks, in the Old Testament, God spoke to prophets and kings and people who were like the patriarchs, like Moses and Abraham and some of those big name guys. But who does God speak to today? Well, number one, God speaks to people who think they are too simple. And I love the words of Jesus when he said in John chapter 10 and verse 27, he said, my sheep know my voice. My sheep know my voice. Jesus is our good shepherd. What do you think of when you think of sheep? What do you think of? Some people would use the word dumb. Or, you know, and sheep tend to be known as not too bright. Sheep are easily distracted. If you were to do a little study of sheep, sheep tend to wander. Sheep tend to go astray. Sheep are not exactly, they tend to follow. They're not exactly the brightest animals on the face of the earth. And yet God, he describes us as sheep. It's not necessarily a compliment. But friends, the reality is it gives us hope. Because when it comes to hearing his voice, he says, my sheep, in spite of their not too brightness, he was setting the bar very low. Okay, are you with me? Jesus was setting the bar low because he wants us to understand that we can all hear his voice. And that's good news for me. Because I totally relate to at times feeling really dumb and stupid and like, oh man, I just don't get it. And yet, the beautiful picture here that we have is a God who wants to speak to us as sheep. And so the point is, hearing God's voice does not have to be complicated. It's not for theologians. It's not for, in fact, I think of our children. I think our children have the best advantage to hear from God because they haven't been cluttered up with all kinds of preconceived notions and ideas and things that have come in to distract them as sheep. There's a purity about children. Maybe that's why God says he wants us to be like children. And so let me encourage you this morning that to hear God's voice is for you. Secondly, people who can hear God's voice are people who may think they are too bad. One of the great conversations in the Bible is Jesus speaking in John chapter 4, I believe it is, Jesus speaking to the Samaritan woman. A Samaritan woman who had seven husbands. And the guy she was living with now was not her husband. And here we see Jesus speaking to this person. Jesus was often accused of speaking with gluttons and drunkards and sinners because God wanted to speak to them. He had a word for them. And many of you here this morning may look back on your life and maybe in one of the worst of times in your life, it might have been a horrible time in your life where you were distant and far from God. You heard God speak to you. And so God is a speaking God, and it doesn't matter how simple, how bad, how wrong, how far away, how distant we may feel from God, God speaks. I heard a great story just this week. In fact, it was part of our mentoring session, and it was pretty cool, and I just heard it just a couple of days ago, and it was about a church in Ontario somewhere, I can't remember where. They were actually offering this six-week class as a seminar thing. They were doing it during the week, the whole thing, and a video thing, and when they promoted it, there was an atheist who signed up. And so on the first night, this atheist actually came to the meeting and sat down with all the people, and they began to present the material. And the next thing you know, this atheist begins to speak up and begins to challenge the leader, begins to be obnoxious. And the leader was like, oh my goodness, like this guy is just disrupting the whole meeting. And it was a very, very difficult and a very awkward time for them. And the leader was saying that they could hardly wait for the night to be done when we could just get this thing over with and get rid of this guy. And it was actually dreading the week number two. And so week number two, they were a little more prepared this time. But this week, the guy comes in. And he just sits down and is very calm and very meek and mild and nice. And like they're kind of wondering, okay, are we being tricked into something here or whatever? They were really concerned because the atmosphere, the behavior, the response of this guy was completely different. And finally, they asked, they said, what happened? What's different? Well, what happened was this guy, when he went home, he started doing some of the homework, started practicing some of the little exercises that they were given on how to hear from God. In the midst of all of that, guess who showed up? Jesus actually revealed himself to this person. And during that week, this individual gave his life to Christ and came back. I just heard about it this week. It was absolutely a phenomenal story. And God opened his heart. And the cool thing is, because I think the guy actually said, okay, God, if you truly exist, then show me. A couple of weeks ago, our missionaries that were with us, you remember the bowlers? On the Sunday night gathering, they shared how Muslims are coming to faith in Jesus in Africa where they've been serving because of revelations and dreams and visions from God. And this is where we get into some of the other ways that God speaks. We have his word, but God's a creative God. And if someone doesn't necessarily have his word, God's going to use other things to speak and to get their attention. And so the good news this morning is this. Is that God is still speaking today. And it doesn't matter whether you're good, bad, whether you're simple, dumb, a child, a senior citizen. God still speaks. And he wants to speak to us. He wants to speak to you. He wants to speak to me. And again, I use that word imagine. If we would all become more effective at hearing his voice. And so in this series, we want to give some time to learning. We want to learn together. And I realize that this may not work for everybody as far as schedule and so on. Some of you have commitments already. Maybe there's some other things that we can do to help you with this. But we're going to be doing a practicum on Wednesday nights for the next 6 weeks. And in that, we're going to be doing a little, we're going to have some exercises. We're going to do some things together. We're going to have a little bit of some video inserts to help with this. And I've actually put a little sign-up sheet up in the top of the balcony, the two sides on the table, and on, just as you walk out the door, if you want to just put your name down and give us an idea how many to prepare for, so we're going to have some notes and different things for you. It's going to be fun. And we're going to do something different today as we close. And we're going to actually do a little exercise right off the bat. This is going to turn into a classroom now, okay? Are you good? Are you with me? And so you'll see in your notes, everyone, that's where I want all of you to have your notes there. You'll see some questions for conversation. And I want you just to pull it out here. And what we're going to do is we're going to take about 3 or 4 minutes. And I'm going to have you to form little groups of two or three. And there's like 4 questions. Maybe we'll go to the next slide there. So question number one. And I want you to choose one question, okay? When you made a decision to follow Jesus, what was happening that made you think or feel that you needed to do that? How did you know? What were you sensing? And how could you tell that Jesus came into your life? So that just kind of, that's sort of a general big question. Here's another question that maybe some of you might want to think about, talk about. Has there ever been a time when a Bible verse that you were reading, maybe in your devotions or sometime, seemed to just come alive and leap off the page at you? Maybe it was directed at a particular situation or circumstance that you were going through. Maybe it happened to someone this week. Maybe this week you had that experience, perhaps. And it just says, give an example. Another one, have you ever heard a sermon that really seemed to be directed at you? I've had people come to me and say, Dave, it was like you were just reading my mail. It was like you were preaching directly at me, and I didn't even know who the person was. Some of you maybe have had that example. And then another one is, are there other ways in which God has spoken to you? So what we're going to do is we're going to put on a little background music for a couple of minutes, just really soft spa music, whatever. And I want you to pick one of those questions. I don't want you to answer all of them. I want you to pick one of those questions and then share with your neighbor an example of maybe how that related to you, okay? And so, remember, we're talking about hearing God's voice, all right? In a sense, we're saying, do these questions recall a time in your life when you actually heard God speaking, okay? So let's do it right now, okay? So just form up. Just join up with 2 or 3 people around you. And we want to do this together. We're going to do a little assignment together, okay? If it works better to have 4, that's okay too, okay? Yeah, God speaks to your heart. I was facing a fairly large decision this summer, and I was battling back and forth, and I kept hearing this whisper from God saying, don't worry, Dave, I got this. And I kept hearing that word again over and over and over. I got this. I got this. I got this. And that was the word that God gave me. I got this. Okay. He's got it. So I don't need to be overly anxious about it. Anyway, that was just a little simple exercise. This would be a fun time to do some testimonies right now, wouldn't it? And we're going to give a little more time for that on Wednesday. But can we just stand together? I hope that we can be encouraged this morning. I am a very simple preacher, and so I hope I didn't mess it up too much for y'all. But the reality is, the bottom line is, we believe strongly that God still speaks. The big question is, we've got to learn to practice. We need to learn ways to actually hear his voice. And that's where repetition and practice and things like that comes into play. You know, my mother was a piano teacher. And I had every opportunity in the world to be a world-famous piano player. That's true. Because I thought my mom was pretty great. But you know what? I never got past the ding, 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 ding. You know, like, I never practiced. And the potential in this place right now to hear God's voice is so amazing. But it's going to require us learning maybe some new skills that will help us. And it's going to require some practicing. And even being willing to hit some bad notes along the way. And even to learn what it means to stay in bounds. Because I believe boundaries can actually accelerate us being able to hear the voice of God together. Because it's going to be a safe place. And we're not going to have people just stepping out and doing dumb things. Even though we're dumb sheep sometimes. Even sheep need to be reined in. And so let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for opening up this conversation. And I thank you for the conversations that I could hear in the background this morning as we closed. And just little simple examples of ways that we have heard your voice in different capacities, in different ways. And we thank you, Father, that you are still a speaking God and you want to speak to us today. And I pray that as we go through this journey together, that you will help us expand our hearing, that where there's spiritual deafness, where we've tuned out the voice of God, where we've missed out on different opportunities that God speaks, that Lord, that you would open this up to us. And so I pray that as we begin this journey together, that you will help us going forward. And we ask your blessing. Now we pray for the practicum on Wednesday nights. And we pray for those that can and need to be part of this, that you would help make a way so that we could be part of this together. And so we want to thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you, everybody.
Thanks again for listening to today's message. We hope that it encouraged you as you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.